This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, this is the best show, but it's not live on a Tuesday night on your computer. Well, it is on a computer, but it's not live on a Tuesday night on your computer. We're in Los Angeles right now, and we're recording an episode of the show here. Why? Because we want to keep doing episodes for you, because I just love doing the show so much. Why? I'm just doing it on a Tuesday. Yeah, I haven't stopped running around and... Sure, I was told to go to Santa Monica for a meeting that was in Los Angeles. That was a fun 90-minute loop-de-loop I did. But I'm not going to talk about that stuff. I'm going to talk about fun. We have all kinds of great people here, and we're just going to get into it. And since it's a podcast and it's not even a live thing, we don't even play music tonight that has to get cut out of the podcast. So let's just play the theme, and then we will get into the show. So listen to this, because this is the best show. Starts. Oh, and then it's an episode of the show. How about that? Guys, gentlemen, ladies, oldies, youngsters, people of all races and creeds and colors, welcome to the best show. The L.A. style best show. We're going to do a laid back best to befitting the West Coast. This is like a cool, this is not a uptight New Jersey, New York best show. This is a David Ogden Steers in his actual speaking voice style best show.
When he does that
Carl Sagan impression that he does. Is he still alive? David Ogden Stiers? Anybody? No? Winchester? Winchester from MASH? What was that like when they were just like, yeah, the one guy, Frank Burns is leaving, so we just need a new guy to just like, that we're, the requirements for this thing is that Alan Alda will not stop making fun of your character for 12 years. So if you don't like Alan Alda making fun of you and it's eventually going to get under your skin, do not audition for this. Alan Alda. He's still with us, right? He was on something recently. What was he on? 30 Rock? That was like 7 years ago still. I don't know if he's with us. Right? What's the last thing Alan Alda did? Sweet Liberty? Four Seasons? No, those are throwbacks. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. I think I'm going to just wrap it up here. I think I've given everything I had in the tank for this. Like James Ingram said, right? I gave my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough for tonight. But no, just once I will do the best show. Not live in front of people, but it will be on the your podcast. You're listening to this on a Wednesday, not live on a Tuesday. So that gives us freedom. And we have guests in the studio. It's going to be a cool, laid-back best show. We have, it's like a who's who in the studio. This place blew up, man. Show business, as we know it, would end. They would just be show business. They would just say, we're shutting it down. Wrapping it up. We're going to all go do something else because show business is over. We have a longtime friend of me and the best show, Lisa Jane Persky, here. You know her as she is an author, right? And an actor and a, what else? A photographer, right?
I love when you say that, photographer.
And what else? What else did you do?
Yeah,
you've done so many things. You were
I'm here. I'm representing old Hollywood.
You were in Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. You played Dirty D.
I did.
The tough hoodlum who gave Kiss a hard time.
I was really messing with Abner Devereaux and the boys there.
In that amusement park that Kiss were... They rescued it or something? What happened again? I can't remember the
plot.
Who
can remember?
Yeah. I'm sure nobody. I'm sure Kiss. Do you think anybody in Kiss could walk you through the plot of
no one's
Kiss Me
watching it for summer? That either, right?
Paul Stanley. I have a... They're like, if all of a sudden like a sniper dot showed up on Paul Stanley's chest. Paul, there's a sniper at the top of that hill. He's going to pull the trigger if you don't walk us through the plot of six plot points in Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Well, let me think. There's the time when Kiss went to the...
And then the guy just waves his finger and then the firing starts. We also have... I'm going to go round the table. We have another esteemed entertainer who's brought joy to so many people. Over the years, whether it be through his writing or his acting, we have Gabe Delahaye here. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
What's the calling card for a Gabe? What's the one where they're like, oh, I know you from?
Well, it used to be Video Gum, a website I used to write.
Sure, and you wrote all the things where you'd be like, hey, check this video out of...
Yeah, a lot of hate check this video out of.
Popping out of a garbage can.
Kid popping out of a garbage can and getting punched in the chest.
That's top 10 all-time best videos.
Yep.
Like, hi, I want to ask you about... Like, you don't even need to see it if you know it well enough. And the kid with the mummy, the wolfman mask pops out of the can. And then that kid just hauls off and that kid just falls back into the garbage can.
It's a classic.
So they know you from that.
That, Gabe and Max.
Yes, that's your hit web series.
My hit web series with my friend Max Silvestri. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
So you're saying that the future is wide open,
is what
you're saying.
The future is wide open.
You're not encumbered by
it could be
a body of work the way other people are just held back by I did fine.
No.
I did all these things. And then just, for you, it's like
smooth sailing.
Yeah. And you just look, it's open waters.
Open waters.
And ironically, you might end up in open water 4. What if you saw yourself in open water 4?
I only go on like 2 auditions a year, but hopefully open water 4 will be one of them.
Would you, audition for open water 4?
Yeah.
And they're just like, all right, this one takes place off the coast of Prague, Yugoslavia. We're shooting this one in international waters.
Sign me up.
No guarantees of anything.
Should I slate? Do I slate?
Do you slate? Yeah. Want me to do tail slates on these? Is there an underwater slate I can hold?
It would be my Aquaman.
It would be. Oh, see, already we're into the entourage talk. It took 3
and
a half
minutes. LA Best Show. LA Best Show.
Dream Large. Is that what the show is? Oh, no. Wait, I'm that? Or everyone's just laughing at it? Like.
Oh, no, everyone loves it.
Oh, I thought you were saying that, like, the what Entourage is to the West Coast, the Best Show is to the East Coast. Like, yeah, these guys think they're making a thing, but we just all laugh at it and make fun of it. And then, speaking of Entourage, I don't want to say mockery, but just the fanaticism, right?
Yeah.
We have comedian Joe Mandy is here.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Thanks for coming, all of you. Thank you. The Entourage trailer, exciting.
I've only seen the poster. I'm trying to hold back.
There's two now.
Two posters?
Trailers.
Okay. The poster says, dream large, live larger. But like, dream large isn't an expression.
Yeah. The live larger should have been built off of an actual...
Right.
Look.
I had some notes.
These guys. So you have notes. You're going to some last minute one sheet punch up.
Yeah. On that poster.
Yeah. I got brought in for 2 days of one sheet punch ups. Doing punch up on new James Bond movie and the Entourage movie. Were you excited when Jerry Ferrara called the Best Show? Was that?
I couldn't believe it.
I could not believe it. It came together so fast, and it came together just like so many things come together.
I've had a lot of weird interactions with him, never in person. Mm-hmm. He accused me of saying I threw a death threat at him over Twitter, which was very confusing, and then we argued about what constituted a death threat.
Death threat.
And then I showed up at a party once, and someone was like, Jerry Ferrara wants to punch you in the face, and I was like, well, this is getting very strange, and then he followed me on Twitter, so...
And now...
It's kind of like an episode of Entourage, really.
Yeah.
Now we're
yeah.
buds.
Now you are in his entourage, potentially. I know
God
I am
willing,
now.
God willing.
Oh, I'm now... I have a shot at being the turtle to turtle.
I mean, I'm more into sneakers than you, so I think I'm turtle.
So you're just going to be out waiting out in front of the you're just a sneakerhead with him, and you can.
Well, I do drive an Escalade.
Okay,
no,
you drive it. Oh, you
drive an Escalade. I wear hats always.
Mm-hmm. You're always have some sort of Yankees paraphernalia on.
I bleed blue. Is that what they say?
I think it's blue.
I bleed pinstripes.
You bleed pinstripes. Yeah, that, so you, the Jerry Ferrara did not punch you out.
No. I don't even know if that threat was real. Maybe that was, you know, through the confusion. Now I thought he was threatening my death. You know, it's very,
sure.
It's a dramatic friendship we have.
You'd actually qualify it as a friendship?
I've never met him, no.
I've never met him either, although...
I listened to every episode of his podcast? Sure, I have, sure.
I haven't heard any of them yet.
Mm.
Is it good?
Mm-hmm.
Did he mention coming on the Best Show on it? He said he was going to.
I haven't heard that yet.
I liked when he said something like, look, I'm not comparing myself to Daniel Day-Lewis, acting-wise, but... It's like, okay, you're not comparing. That's a smart move. No one acting-wise should compare themselves to Daniel Day-Lewis.
I did hear he spent 3 years just living as a turtle before they shot.
Before he did. And then they're like, then Doug Ellen is like, no, Jerry, it's not that kind of turtle. Your nickname is Turtle. What is, his name is Sal, right? His first name, Turtle's first name is Sal, really?
Oh, man.
Is that?
I hope so.
Because there's Dom, which is the closest thing to dumb, like, which is kind of appropriate that that guy's name was Dom. It's like one letter away from misspelling dumb. Like, the only the dumbest way to spell dumb is Dom, actually.
Well, that's how dumb people spell dumb.
Yeah, you're two letters off then. Yeah. I thought he was going to get more into the whole Dom thing. He likes Dom, but I gotta realize he knows the guy who plays Dom. It's not this theoretical character for him. Not like I'm just like, hey, remember when Dom was on the thing? He's like, yeah, I know that guy.
This is my real life.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. You're not actually Turtle. I'm forgetting that you are actually are hanging out with this guy in director's chairs on sets. And
I chased the van full of, you know, Entourage stars for you. That was really what began my calls. Was that you had put out some call for, like, send me your celebrity.
For what?
Send me your celebrity.
Send me your celebrity.
I want a celebrity.
And you chased down.
So they were filming in my neighborhood that night, right during the show. Mm-hmm. So I went and got, I was going to go get one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they have nothing but fear for me. But yeah. So when I got there, the wagon was pulling away. You could see Jeremy Piven's head or.
Yeah, I think that's a death threat.
That's,
I mean, I'm aware, yeah, what a death threat
strict
is.
Strict Ferrara rules. You.
And then I had to call with me instead.
Yes.
Number 16,573 or whatever I was.
On the list?
I've moved down, I think, about a thou since then.
You've moved up. You, Lisa Jane Persick, have acted on so many crazy things throughout your career. Like, what was you acted with, like, B. Arthur, right?
I did. I think one of the top weirdest things, mm-hmm. I guess, was along with the Kiss thing is The Amazing Story, where I become magnetized by a meteor falling through a house.
When did that happen?
And I've never really gotten over it.
And what year was that?
Oh, God, I don't know. It was the first season of Amazing Stories.
Oh, that was
Stories.
The Steven Spielberg anthology show, right?
I keep telling people from, you know, my experience here that the thing that you think is probably one of the worst things that you've ever done will maybe be the thing that everyone loves more than anything.
Sure.
So, like, yes, just say yes.
So for you, it's...
Just say yes.
People say, hey, you're from Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. And the thing where you got magnetized by a meteor.
Well, that was actually pretty good compared... Well, you know, almost anything compared to...
Look, you're working.
I love
you're
it.
Working. You're making stuff happen. You also were with Divine on Off-Broadway?
Off-Off. Yes,
yeah.
Off-Off.
And it was like, what was the show
in
called?
In a show called Women Behind Bars, where we performed 8 times a week for a year and right around the corner from CBGB's, so I was... This was 76, and so I'd do those 8 shows, and every night go off to CBGB's and
just see bands and
bring
stuff.
Divine with me, and Divine was Dee Dee's favorite actress.
Dee Dee Ramone.
Yeah.
Wow. And you, because that show was like a prison, like a women's prison.
It was a spoof on all those prison movies or the Snake Pit, you know, and it had all those characters.
And then Divine had to, like, assault you every...
Yeah, I was raped 8 times a week by Divine.
Okay.
But rape, not as we, you know, as feminists speak of this today. Mm-hmm. This was some exploded comedic version of...
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
no actual, body parts were harmed.
Yes, good. Well, it was that's what acting is. You don't have to. I'm not going to talk anymore about that. Just because it's on a different coast.
Are we all dancing around the word penetration?
I think it might be. Yes.
Okay.
That was so you. Yeah, so you hung out with Divine all the time,
right?
And what Divine was a good guy,
the greatest.
Yeah,
the greatest. So fun and funny and interesting and sweet and. also diabolical in his way.
Mm-hmm.
If you crossed him, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
We shared a burned dressing room together because he left something smoking in an ashtray and burned both of our dressing rooms. The fire department had to come.
Like, so then for the rest of the show, you're worried about falling through the floor in your dressing room.
I still have pictures with, you know, the foam on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for the, yeah, the fire extinguisher foam. Now, guys, we have Joe Mandy, Gabe Delahaye, Lisa Jane Persky. Los Angeles, what's the deal with this place? I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm feeling like I fit in here.
Well, a lot of vegetarian places, a lot of gluten-free areas.
Sure, I'm gluten. I'm full of gluten, though.
I know.
It's
hard. It's hard as a gluten eater.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. As just a lover of gluten.
There's not a lot of gluten-based restaurants. No.
Yeah.
They should start having signs that say like gluten bakery instead of gluten-free.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it.
Glutinous Maximus. What if that was like the name of a place? Would you eat it, Glutinous Maximus?
Don't think I would, but I might be forced to.
Yes. What if you had to have a meeting at Glutinous Maximus?
Would it be like dinosaur themed or like like Grey's Anatomy type?
It would be like Muscle Maker Grill crossed with...
I'm in.
And Muscle Maker Grill, are those all over the place here?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's the dumbest franchise.
That's real?
Yeah.
Is it called Muscle Milkshakes and stuff?
It's a place where it's just high-protein food. It's supposed to be for people eating before or after they go to the gym, I guess. It's called Muscle Maker Grill. It's like, I don't know. Like, that's the thing. It gets guaranteed to go under.
The name is a little on the nose.
Yeah.
The name is a little on the nose.
Muscle Maker.
It just sounds like you're getting a fight there. Like,
well, you have to. That's how you pay.
It's so.
You don't take cash.
It's just a pyramid of just violence at the thing. Are you going to arm wrestle for the thing?
It's just Hunger Games style where they pile it all in the middle of the restaurant and you have to get it.
It's just a plate of just grilled chicken. It's just like a giant mountain of just grilled chicken that these weightlifters are eating. Just
troughs.
Yeah, just troughs of that and then like...
Just like twisting necks.
And you go up to get like your drink, your self-serve drink, and it would come out like what would come out would be like... Like some sort of like whey powder shake. like a thick shake comes out of where usually it's like Dr. Pepper comes out. Now it's just like dripping. Yeah.
It's creatine pump.
Instead of mayonnaise. It's just. Yeah. You gonna pay for that?
Just dipping other dudes' fingers into the creatine. I think they're all cannibals now. That's what's happening.
I had heard once that some kid went up to Henry Rollins backstage at a show and was like, and this might be an apocryphal story, but like, kid was like, hey, that's a cool guitar. And Rollins was like, you like it? Kid's like, yeah. It's like, you can have it if you can get it away from me. And then the kid's like,
I'm a child.
I like your music, sir. I'm back here. I feel extra special being back here after seeing you guys perform. Why are you getting ready to fight me? But like, yeah, that whole weightlifting thing. Well, how much can you bench, Gabe?
How much can you bench?
680?
No, I can't bench 680.
720? Like Pat Robertson, can you do a full... Pat Robertson can do like 1,100. Didn't he say he could do like 11, like leg...
That video of him squatting is disgusting. It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
He'd be like David Caruso and say, I only bench chicks.
Is that what he said?
Well, in Kiss of Death, that's what he does. He benches girls, I think. Maybe it's Ving Rhames. I think it's Ving Rhames that benches.
Well, that's
easy to confuse those two.
There's a huge gulf. You know.
It's hard to remember that movie.
You're the guy with the bright red hair, or you're Ving Rhames.
Carrot Top.
Yeah, you're either Carrot Top or Ving Rhames. Red hair in Hollywood, does it have a place, guys, on Gentlemen?
I've yet to see it.
Yeah, I don't think there's...
Who can pull it off?
Conan. I don't know. They got to stay out of the sun, right? So they you don't see them out in the streets
That's
as
true.
Much.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess we're looking at Conan O'Brien, right?
He doesn't that dude from Homeland.
Rupert Grint.
Yeah. That's right, the guy from Homeland, Damian...
Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard.
Benedict Cumberbatch, yes. Actually a redhead?
Is he?
I think he is.
So Benedict... So it's non-Americans
he
seem to
totally
have...
could be totally lying, I don't...
Yeah, I think he's got fair hair. Maybe not blonde hair, though.
Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
Gross. But look, yeah. With the ladies, that's just a... It's a line. You get online.
Just hand them the Oscars.
Right. Yes, right. Exactly.
I didn't realize we were...
Talking about Julianne Moore
only
now.
We're talking about men.
Yeah, we're talking about just guys.
Yeah. Dudes who would go to Muscle...
Muscle Maker Grill. Giant guy with red hair. Is that the guy you're most scared of?
Giant guy with red hair?
Weightlifter with red hair. Is that the scariest? You'll fight him?
Yeah. No problem.
You'll fight. Now, I'm going to ask you guys the question here. I've been asking people these rapid fire questions.
Oh, no.
I know, right? Let's see. We'll go round robin. No, I don't even know what round robin. We're not going round robin on this. That's not round robin. I'll just ask them. Let's see. All right. What's the longest you've gone without sleeping, Joe Mandy?
Probably 3 days.
And what led you to that point?
I think it was like a brutal finals situation, having procrastinated, mm-hmm. needing to write like 4 term papers in the span of like 48 hours.
And was that just, were you just caffeinated on that?
I was illegally taking Ritalin, mm-hmm. which is helpful in that situation.
Sure.
Just garbage papers, too. Uh-huh. That's the thing. You're in a zone. You're like, yeah, I'm doing it. Just churning out papers. And it's like terrible.
Yeah. So, and now you're in a field where it doesn't matter if you went. Well, actually, it doesn't matter if you go to Harvard because you just get jobs if you just went there. Which job would you like?
It feels that way. I have never really applied myself that hard, and I now work constantly with people who went to Harvard. And
yeah.
It's like, well, different paths.
Yeah.
Same.
Is there ever satisfaction in just being like you with your fancy education?
No, I mean, they've all been great except when they talk about going to Harvard. Mm-hmm. And blow my brains out. They talk about, I mean, truly when people from Harvard get together, it's about once a week, they'll say something like, now you're talking like someone who lived in Adam's house, and like they all giggle, and it's like, I have no context to what that means, but it doesn't sound interesting.
Yeah, not engaging.
Sounds classist, or something.
The idea of,
know what classist means.
Would talk about the dorm I lived in if anyone would understand the reference.
Right.
I just want to talk about the dorm.
What school are we talking about?
Me? University of Michigan.
Okay. Is that a good school? I don't know. I went to a community college. I don't know any of this stuff.
I grew up in Ann Arbor where University of Michigan is, so it felt like community college to me.
Sure.
I think people think of it as an okay
school. I'll say this, though.
Well, Jalen Rose says it's one of the 5 best universities in the world.
So.
Jalen Rose, I think he's the best. I think he is going to take, like, Barkley's place when he eventually
says
the
wonderful.
Wrong thing.
Yeah.
Like, Charles Barkley will prove himself to not be bulletproof like he thinks he is.
Yeah.
In a way, like, there'll be one thing where suddenly it's like, yeah, we are firing at this time, Charles.
Right, <yeah. laughs>
Just that he always... Because he got away so far. Does he not realize the thin ice that he might be on when just like he got pulled over and he was like speeding? Was he drunk? And then the cop is like, what are you doing? He's like, well, officer, you have to understand there's a lady waiting at this house who's going to perform things on me, and I need to get there very fast. Like, he said that to a cop. Like what?
Well, in my experience, sometimes if you're, like, very honest with cops, they don't know what to do with it, and they just give you a warning. Like, I've been pulled over a couple times. Mm-hmm. Like, I once made, like, a crazy illegal U-turn. And I wasn't drunk or about to have a woman do things to me. But I made a crazy illegal U-turn in front of a cop, and he immediately pulled me over. And he was like, do you know why I'm pulling you over? And I was like, yeah, that was so stupid. I don't know why I'm so stupid. I saw you, and I still did it. And then he was like, just don't do that.
Yeah, that was great. I've done that level of just... It's like perverse because you're just humbling yourself so much to this guy who all you're doing is just, please, just don't write that thing. And then if he starts writing, it's just like, you know. Like, then it's just like, you're the trash that I knew you were the whole time.
I did get a $300 jaywalking ticket.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say about that jaywalking. You cannot talk that them out of that
crazy.
Thing.
You got to, where was that?
Like around the corner from my place. And I jaywalked, and then I was kept walking, and then he pulled up beside me, and whoop, whoop, I was walking. I was like, what is that?
That happened to me, too.
Broad daylight. Where am I? What?
That's the Hollywood I know and love.
Do you love that?
Why? Why do they do it?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're trying to save us money from, you know, scraping us off the asphalt.
No, I think they just want money.
That could be. He also seemed kind of like a muscle maker grill type cop. Like, he was ready to throw down. Because there had just been a shooting nearby, and I was like, well, it's cool that you're doing this and not, you know, doing anything about these shootings. And then, like, I could tell he was like, say one more thing, I'm going to slam your face into this car.
But you just have to, that smile. Yeah. That one time, I was driving down a hill, and I, like, ran a red light, and then the cop pulled me over, and I'd just gotten my license, and then the cop, I did exactly what you did, and the cop was like, what's going on here? Are you drunk? I was like, no, I was going down the hill. I was so scared that I thought the light was changing, and I just panicked, and I just went through the light. I was so sorry, like just instantly, I was so sorry.
So scared.
Yeah, like I'm sorry? Why am I... Sorry, and then you're just like, then you're driving down the street and you just see a cop on his phone, just like, that's when it's like, should be citizen's arrest mm-hmm. time, right? Would you ever have the guts to even say anything like to a cop, hey, why don't you get off your phone?
Yes, 100%.
You would?
Yeah. But wow. I've been eating at Muscle Maker Grill.
Oh, so that's what's doing it.
Yeah, it's the, I'm just like empowered.
It's the whole Muscle Maker thing is kind of wiring you up a little bit here. You're feeling your oats. Well, they wouldn't have oats at Muscle Maker Grill. See, that's the thing. That's is it carbs, right? Oats?
It's bad.
It's bad.
Oats is bad.
Is. Yeah.
That's, don't touch it.
I tattooed poison. That on my stomach. Oats is bad.
Oats are poison.
You're feeling your broiled chicken, right?
Mm.
The menu probably just says, I picture it just saying, like, written in, like, the way a weightlifter would just write on a chalkboard, broiled chicken, and then like whatever. What else could they eat there? What else? Green like salad, like broiled chicken over, like broiled chicken wrap.
No, no wraps.
No wraps.
But
wraps.
That would be maybe in the sinfully delicious category.
Just broiled chicken. Wrapped
would be wrapped in jerky.
Broiled chicken wrapped in yes. So no, yeah, no wraps.
Chicken with a chicken shake.
Yeah, chicken whey, creatine shake.
How is this place not in LA yet? This sounds perfect.
Muscle Maker Grill, and the logo makes it look like a place is gonna go out of business. You just see it. It's this oval that just says Muscle Maker. You're just like, yeah, that, and they've been around for a few years. They've hung on. So look, maybe they're thriving.
They don't want
they
girls.
Be here. They should be like Starbucks in L.A.
Yeah.
Just a Muscle Maker Grill on every corner.
Yeah, what would if a barista works at Starbucks, what would that would be like are they wearing weightlifting belts there? I'm going to just show you. Here you go. That's the logo. It's like when you see that.
It's made on Microsoft Paint.
The founder's kid made it.
Yeah.
Muscle Maker Grill. This logo's not tough looking enough.
They like grabbed a nerd by his neck and was like, make a logo on this iPhone real quick.
Hey, make a... Yeah, get on your computer, nerd. don't know why I'm doing a Jamie Gumm voice.
I mean, they did make the letters look like they're made out of metal,
yes.
Which is pretty tough.
Yeah. It looks so it just like it looks like you could potentially like lift
that logo.
The
lift
letters.
That logo.
If they expand there, yeah, that would be the ultimate expansion for it, where they just like you're just like you do you lift the words Muscle Maker Grill, like it's like each one is like a different weight and you go around the thing until and you get to that second L. Like you're lifting both L's of the grill at the same time.
And then it's in an oval so that you know it's a family restaurant.
I brought the kids.
Nothing says He-Man Woman Haters Club more like than, that logo.
Yeah, more than...
Have you ever seen that clip of that, like, jacked kid? He's, like, seven
Which
years
one?
Old.
Which one?
He's got, like, a weird syndrome where he, like his... He's just, like, he looks...
Little
jacked.
Hercules? Or
Little
whatever?
Hercules.
Yeah.
Yes, I have that.
Or whatever. Could be, he could be named anything.
Or whatever, yeah. Little Hercules, I think. Yeah.
No way to know what his name was.
Yeah, I've definitely never looked that up, but it's probably not Little Hercules.
Here's what happened. Some dipmunch wired this motherboard to the 8th level of hell, and now it's all screwed up.
Hey, what is... Oh my god, there's somebody under the table.
Who did this? Oh.
Sir?
Yeah.
What are you doing down there?
I'm fixing the board down here.
You're fixing the board?
Yeah. Why?
So you're an engineer here?
Yeah. You look familiar.
You kind of look familiar, too.
Well, let me get up here.
Okay. You're right, buddy?
Yeah. I was down there for 4 hours.
You were down there the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
And you heard the show start and everything, and you just...
Yeah, I mean, I had my Walkman on for a little bit. I was...
Uh-huh.
Let me put these cans on, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was listening to Winger down there.
So you don't even listen to the shows going on in
here. I heard you talking about some cool restaurant just now.
A Muscle Maker Grill?
Yeah, see, I want to go to that. What is that?
Well, I can tell you about it. I can tell you about the menu at it. But, yeah, it's a chain. It's a chain for people looking to get ripped, I guess.
Well, as you can tell, I'm already ripped.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Well.
Where do I know you from?
Well, I used to do a show in... At WFMU.
The high school radio station. Well, I did work on that board there.
That's right, yes. Is your name?
It's Carl.
Carl.
Yeah.
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 I remember you were under the console when I was interviewing. Was I interviewing Sanjaya?
Oh, my God. And you were there.
I was there. I remember you.
You were Lisa Jane Percy. You were there when Carl was there.
From KISS, yes.
So remember
big
you.
Fan.
Well, you were not. She was not in KISS.
Sure, she
actually.
Was.
She was not actually in KISS.
She's still in KISS.
No, she's.
You look just like one of the KISS people.
Well, that's a terrible thing to say.
No, but they wear makeup and they look great.
I'm crying.
Oh, they look great. Okay,
they
well,
do.
You do.
Tommy
think they
Thayer.
Look, you look like Tommy Thayer, the guy who replaced
Ace. Gorgeous. He's a good looking guy.
Okay, well, fair enough. Here are some things from the menu at Muscle Maker Grill from the lighter side category: Champion Pasta. Grilled chicken breast and turkey meatballs with reduced fat mozzarella and marinara over whole wheat penne pasta. That does not sound particularly... This sounds like some fraudulent... Yeah, sure, it's for weightlifters. It's like just some guy never lifted a thing in his life. Yeah, I don't know. This place is bombing. What if we just make it, try to bring those idiots from the gym in across the street? Let's call it Muscle Maker thing. Maybe it will just change the name. The Muscle Maker Caesar Salad has zero carb dressing on it. The Lean and Mean Cheeseburger Salad. Lean and Mean. It's just food meant to get these guys pumped. Like, you're going to get lean and mean? Yeah, I'm going to get lean and mean with the cheeseburger salad. There's nothing healthy about this place at all, except the names. Premium beef burger atop. Romaine lettuce with reduced fat cheddar cheese. So this is not. And fat-free hickory barbecue dressing garnished with tomatoes and scallions. They do have wraps. They have about 12 wraps. This place has no commitment. I wonder if the weightlifting community is just like, this place is a scam. You're taking advantage of us. Us, the meat-headed, right? The meat-headed rise up. They all go into a Muscle Maker Grill and start smashing everything up. So, Carl.
Yeah.
It's you want to eat at Muscle Maker Grill?
I do. I want to invest in it too.
Okay. Yeah. I think that you might be going the wrong direction with that.
Like I invested in your podcast.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
I want my money back. It didn't happen, did it?
Wait, you didn't get your money
back? The
million
dollar podcast.
Yeah, how much did you invest?
$20,000.
Oh man.
Yeah.
You should have gotten that back.
Well, I didn't. So I'm.
So you. Because Joe Mandy had a podcast,
yeah.
a proposal for
a
it. Was
Kickstarter.
A, it was a
yeah.
Kickstarter. It was called the Million Dollar Podcast, where you're just like, if I raise $1 million,
mm-hmm.
I'll start a podcast. And you were just even, you sounded so disinterested in it, even in the proposal.
Yeah, I think I said,
I'll talk to guests or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just, yeah. You were already like walking away from it. And how much did it raise? So it raised
$20,000.
I got around $30,000.
Yeah.
So 20 was from you.
Yeah. And you believed.
Please don't
in?
Ask me how I got the $20,000.
Okay. I have to ask though. You can't throw something like that out and not expect some sort of, it's like chum. It's like throwing chum in the water. Well,
I was selling something that wasn't actually what I said it was.
And what were you selling?
I said I was selling these diamond encrusted sweatpants.
Diamond encrusted
yeah.
sweatpants.
You know, for the high end workout people.
Okay,
yeah.
They work out in diamond.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh.
It wasn't diamonds.
So what were they?
Glass.
So you made
and they cut people.
They cut. And you were you had one pair for $20,000 or
no.
Oh, so you sold
a lot.
You sold. How yeah. much were you selling them for?
Like $100 a pair.
And you sold
$20,000 worth.
So you sold 200 pairs of these sweatpants.
Yes.
Well, that is just insane.
Well, maybe you're insane.
Well, Carl, I'm not nuts about the cut of your jib here.
Well,
you're being a little aggressive.
Well, I have a question for you, Dirty D. What was the grape Santini really like?
Tasty. Flavorful.
Was he?
Because you were in the Great Santini.
No, it's the Grape Santini.
The Grape... No, it's the Great.
No, it's not.
The movie? The it's Robert Duvall movie?
Yeah, the Grape Santini.
No, it's called the Great
no,
Santini.
No,
thank you.
No, it's the Grape Santini. The Grape Santini was the father of the Grape Ape, that cartoon. Isn't it?
No, I think you're spending too much time under these boards.
No.
You might get, are there fumes under there?
You need to spend more time under the boards.
I don't even know what that means.
Well,
is that
how? Figure it out yourself.
How's that an insult?
You'll find out.
You mean like I'm not?
You don't know what's down there.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
So you, like I'm like a piker here, not knowing my own equipment.
Exactly. And I do remember why I had to fix the board at WFMU.
Why is that?
There was fudge. Smeared into the
no,
faders.
Stop
there
that.
There was.
It had that had nothing to do with
some
me.
Ape had been smearing like chunks of fudge. It looked like it had been going on for 13 years.
That's, you are trying to get to me. You know that that's not true.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Don't
yeah,
know.
You don't. You
hey,
don't.
You're into music, right?
Yeah, yeah, I love music.
Can you help me with something?
Sure, what's that?
I've been trying for weeks to find this Bee Gees song.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't find it on iTunes. I'm nearly positive it's on Live at Last.
Okay. How does it go?
It goes something like, oh, girl, how could I ever forget you, bitch, when I pay you 14 G's a month in alimony?
That was so. You think it was from a live Bee Gees
album? I think it's like one of those studio tracks on the live record.
Like
your band side. Kiss did.
Well, you mean on like double, like Alive 2.
Alive 2.
Yeah. Where the fourth side was live track.
Exactly.
No, it was studio track.
Yeah, they call that breaking the fourth side in music.
That's, wow, that's, you're really inside on this
I
terminology.
Know lots of things.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
You know a lot about a lot.
I do.
Yeah. So, I don't know what Bee Gees, does that Bee Gees song sound familiar?
You guys?
Any
no.
of you guys?
I mean, it sounds like a Trey song song. Or something. Trey Songz song.
I don't know. Who's she?
Trey Songz is a...
It's a he.
Oh.
But
oh. Can I have one of these cookies?
Sure.
Oh. Wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
What did you think?
I thought it was going to be chocolate chip.
Uh-huh. Wait, isn't it? It's not. Those are not chocolate chip?
It's like a Moravian festive cookie. You have one of those?
A Moravian festive cookie?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What, like?
It tastes like this.
Okay, it tastes like, I guess
spice.
I could taste.
It tastes like a little bit of a spice to it. Uh-huh. Like a chai latte. Ever had one of those?
So it's like a cookie version of a chai latte?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Please, by all means, you who know so much about microphones, by all means, chew more into that microphone.
We're on the air, are we?
Well, we're not, but we're pre-recording this.
Oh, okay. So I could just dub this out. You can dub it out.
No, we're not dubbing it out. I'm not going to go back and dub you out.
Well, don't yell at me.
Okay. Well, I want to ask another
question. You guys go and have your show.
What's the most embarrassing celebrity thing you've said to a celebrity? Gabe?
Most embarrassing thing that I've said to a celebrity?
Yes.
I really should have planned ahead for this one. First one that comes to mind. I stared down a celebrity very hard one time to the point where they had to look away, and it was because I did not have my glasses on.
Okay.
So, and I was walking towards this couple, and this says a lot more about me than it does about this celebrity, but I was walking towards this couple pushing a stroller, and the woman looked very beautiful from afar, but she also looked like she had an expensive haircut. And me, being like a normal human being, was like, I'm just going to stare at her until I can figure out if she's actually beautiful or if it's just nice hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got very uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and she looked away. And I was like, oh, no, she's very beautiful. So then I started staring at the guy because I was like, what's his deal? And he was very handsome. And then it was Heath Ledger and Michelle Williams.
So you spooked.
Made them very uncomfortable.
It's like a two and their for child. One.
Yeah.
That's like the daily double.
Yeah,
right?
I got two of them.
Yeah, Lisa Jane Persky.
I do have one of those.
What
which
did
is, I said? We're related.
You're related.
That's what I said to a celebrity.
We're related.
To this day I'd never said it.
Which celebrity are you related to?
Lauren Bacall.
You said to Lauren Bacall, we're related.
Carrie Fisher made me.
Okay.
She made me do it. She made me follow her out into a hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren Bacall was with two, like, dancers mm-hmm. that were dressed, like, in top hat and tails and everything, like, one on either side. Like, uh-huh. they were going to do a show.
Yeah.
And Carrie said, you have to tell her, go out there and push me out there. And then we're standing there, and I'm thinking, I don't really know if I want to do that. And the elevator's doors open, and they get in, like mm-hmm. they're doing a show. And I get in, too, and I say...
So you did this in an elevator.
Yes.
Who would say insane things to famous people in elevators? I find that to be just inconceivable.
Wait.
That anyone would do that.
I
so you're
maybe we have that in common.
So you're in the elevator.
Wait, did you do that once?
Yeah. I just did it in January. Go ahead, please.
And
yeah.
I'm already very hot, you know, uh-huh. my face is all red, and I say, we're related.
And then what did she do?
And nothing. No, there's nothing. And then I go on because I'm really nervous, and I say, yeah, your father and my grandfather used to get together all the time. And she says, I hated my father. Just like that.
Wow. That's terrifying.
It was so scary. Yeah.
And now you're just, did you even press a floor to get off?
I wanted to get off so badly. Yeah. And then, so they got off the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I continued down to the basement and got locked in the basement
mm-hmm.
for an hour.
You got locked in the basement just to avoid the
situation? No, because you couldn't, it was one of those basements that you couldn't, you know, elevators mm-hmm. that you needed a key to.
Sure.
And I was stuck down there until I could find someone to, because all the doors were locked down there. And
mm-hmm. So you got stuck as a capper to this.
Special hell.
You got stuck down in the thing for an hour.
Is it still weird at family barbecues, or are you guys cool now? Have you worked
yeah.
it out?
We fortunately never saw one another again.
That would be good to never see her again. Now, I have to read. I'm going to read something here about the sponsors for the show. So, guys, tonight, I want to let you all know the best show is supported by Wealthfront, the automated investment service that makes it easy for you to invest your money the right way. Wealthfront software manages your money using investment strategies previously only available to the wealthiest investors for only a quarter of what it costs to use a traditional advisor. They monitor your account 24/7. It's overseen by a team of investment experts, the same people who launched the index fund revolution, and they've written some of the most important books in finance. If you're not convinced, you guys got to realize they manage over $2 billion in assets. They're watching over your investments every day. So you have all this extra time now because they take care of everything. Go to wealthfront.com/Besho to get your first $10,000 managed for free. That's wealthfront.com/Besho to get your first $10,000 managed for free. And you should know that Wealthfront Incorporated is an SEC registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are offered through West Wealthfront Brokerage Corporation, member FINRA and SIPC. This is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. Investments in securities involve risks, and there is the possibility of losing money. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Please visit Wealthfront.com to read their full disclosure. Thank you, Wealthfront. Back to the best show. So Lauren Bacall made you feel like trash.
Yeah.
How about you, Carl? Any embarrassing encounters with celebrities? What's the, like, worst thing you said?
Nothing on my end, but I'll tell you what. There's been this story going around the internet for like a month now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because there's all these memes about it and stuff.
Oh, no.
This.
Yeah.
This Neanderthal. Uh-huh. Corners Patti Smith in an elevator somewhere.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he just starts asking her about Humble Pie.
The band Humble Pie.
Yeah, like if Humble Pie was any good. And that. She apparently just shoved him out of the elevator and he flew down like three stories.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So he went into the shaft of the elevator.
She shafted him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Carl, I was that person.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Held it like a barbershop.
Yeah, something. That was barbershop quartet style. That was like the
golden chord.
The golden chord, but not even remotely musical.
What?
Yeah, that was me. I encountered Patti Smith on an elevator.
Oh, no.
And I asked her, back in the day, did you ever see Humble Pie? And then she said, that's a little before my time, which is not true, by the way.
That doesn't really track.
Timetable does not track at all. She was just saying anything she could
right. For
that conversation.
And then she shoved
to
you.
Cease. She did not shove me.
Oh, she didn't shove you.
I got off the elevator, or she did. I can't even remember at this point.
One of those things where it's so traumatic that you just don't know what's happening.
One of us got away from the other
right,
one of us.
Sure.
I know I wanted to get away from her. I know even more than that, she wanted to get away from me. Did not go my way. Happens like that sometimes.
Yeah, you lose sometimes. You roll those dice. You roll them dice.
Yeah. You a gambler?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, what's your game?
Pitching pennies.
Pitching.
Yeah.
That's how you gamble.
Mm-hmm.
Like what, trying to get them to like lean against a wall?
Yeah, me and some kids in an alley.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But it's not very high stakes.
Then. Oh no, I'm lucky if I win like 34 cents.
So you're not.
It's the feel of winning. It's nice.
So I might just tell you though, next time somebody says, Are you a big gambler? Mm-hmm. You might want to say, not really.
Well, compared to the children I play with, I am.
Sure.
I'm the tallest one there.
Okay, well, then you are a pretty... Well, you're gambling against children.
Yeah.
Do their parents know this is going on?
Oh, God, no.
Uh-huh.
No.
How do these little pitching pennies games get together?
They're my nephews.
So you're... Oh, this is... It's even smaller than what you were saying.
It's pretty small, yeah.
Yeah.
I lied about that amount of money too.
Yeah.
It's like 14 cents.
So you were, so even 34 cents was you trying to like be like a big shot.
Total big daddy Warbucks kind
uh-huh.
of guy.
Yeah. But you're
with
just.
The spats.
Uh huh.
You wear spats?
I've never worn spats.
It's fun. You gotta wear them.
Have anybody here ever worn spats?
Spats?
Ever? Yeah. Spats? No. Joe Mandy, worst thing you've said to a celebrity?
I think. I snuck into the Billboard Music Awards last year and like got face to face with Mark Cuban and Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank, and it was like a dream come true. And then I got pictures with both of them, and then I had like a moment with Mark Cuban, and then decided to like pitch him an idea, which I'm sure he gets a lot, which is like already so obnoxious, but it wasn't an idea for a business. It was like a spinoff of Shark Tank. And he was like kind of into it, and then I got greedy and then just started pitching a business idea that I have that's like truly pornographic in nature.
Yeah,
and
you've talked about that on stage.
Yeah, and I was just so funny watching his face turn and then seeing his handlers be like, "We have to go," like just they got him as far away from me as like, so it was like a, it was going well, which is even worse kind of like it was going well, and then it just I destroyed it with like my own hubris.
So you're the guy at the casino, not to stick with gambling. Gambling metaphors here, Carl.
I started pitching nickels, you know?
You started you were just like, enough of this penny.
Yeah.
Went big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that, you know, when you're, it's like, that's what keeps casinos in business. What happened to you?
Where you're just like,
you're winning, and then it's just that point when you just see those people eating at like the 24-hour deli at the casino, like by themselves.
I ended up at the metaphorical Sbarro's in that Billboard of Music Award casino, which was in the MGM Grand Casino in Las Vegas.
There was a Sbarro's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They might want to, I guess, but that's who's showing up at casinos. It's like every once in a while, George Clooney talks about how he's just like, I want to open a casino that's like classy the way casinos used to be and everybody's got to dress up. It's like, well, get ready for your casino to go out of business in 12 hours. It will be bankrupt.
Because Las Vegas is just people in sweatpants drinking daiquiris.
Yeah,
like,
flip flops. Yeah, get ready.
Also, back then, didn't everyone just dress up for everything? Casinos were probably still garbage.
Right.
Yeah. Just everyone wore a suit everywhere.
Yeah.
Exactly. People wore, like, flying. They would be, like,
three-piece suits.
Yeah. Could you imagine that now? It's like, now you're lucky if in your row you're not sitting next to somebody in pajamas at, like, any hour of the day. We're just those people at airports who show up.
Citizens arrest, like, you were talking about that. Like, anytime someone takes off their shoes and socks on an airplane, I want to, like, detain them. Like, that should be illegal.
It's out of bounds. To just
those inflatable pillows too, they should be illegal because people deflate them after, you know, when you're on your way down and they smell like bad breath and they're just so foul.
Those pillows.
Guys are making me feel bad because I still do everything you listed.
Uh-huh. Yeah. When you go to the airport, Carl, I'm going to just throw this guess out here.
Sure.
When you're going through security,
right,
you're the guy who,
first of all, I complain that I have to go through it. I make a big deal about that.
And you look all around.
Yep. Yes.
Like you try to, like you're trying to get everybody on your side.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, can you guys believe this? You do a lot of that.
Yeah.
A lot of posturing.
Yeah.
But then
I'm dressed as a serviceman too.
Oh. And are you a serviceman?
Oh God, no. No.
So you dress like you're in the military.
The Navy.
At the airport.
An admiral.
So you can get respect.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. I deserve the respect, don't I?
But you're not actually, you've never served in the military.
Oh, God, no.
No. But you certainly, you go around acting like you're in the military.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I actually give orders to the security people.
As if the TSA is like ranked
under
beneath
my authority. Yeah.
Like they rank beneath you as a Navy man.
Yeah.
On land, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It works maybe half the time.
Uh-huh. I'm still betting, though, even in your admiral thing, you probably don't wear socks with your shoes.
Oh, no.
And then you have to, like,
well, I don't wear shoes, Tom.
So you go to the airport bare
flip-flops.
In flip-flops. And then you have to, like, put your flip-flops on in the little basket. Mm-hmm. Does anybody, like, that barefoot thing when people, like, go to the airport and they're only wearing shoes but no socks, and then suddenly you see them walking in bare feet, like where thousands of people are walking every day. Doesn't that just seem like, it sounds like it's like outbreak. It's like you're looking to get like, which one's Outbreak again? That's the, which one was the Steven Soderbergh movie?
That's
Contagion.
Yeah.
That's Contagion territory. I saw Contagion in IMAX. It was, I don't know who decided that should be an IMAX movie.
Same guy who decided Focus should be an IMAX movie.
That must just be these, like, things are just like, It's late February. I don't know. We got to get something in the iMac. Can we put the Hobbit thing back in there again? Is anybody? No, we've had that for 3 months. Can we trick anyone? Maybe add 5 minutes of new Hobbit footage. No, they're not going to fall for that. Will Smith. But can we make that IMAX movie? So you're seeing like a crime caper, which seems like it stars like five people in it. I'm going to see Glengarry Glen Ross in IMAX. I actually would want to see that though, right? 3D. What if they just went back through 25th anniversary, Glengarry Glen Ross, IMAX 3D.
That scene where he's talking to his secretary Grace on the phone, asking for first class tickets. Imagine seeing that in
you mean
full IMAX experience?
Jack Lemmon.
Yeah, Grace, give me a first class ticket.
Is this your Jack Lemmon impression,
yeah, isn't
Carl?
It's perfect, right?
It sounds like you're doing Conan O'Brien's impression of people from old-timey movies.
No.
Nash, eh? Like, you also say, I don't think Jack Lemmon...
Sure he did.
He didn't say Mash.
Yeah, Grace, give me some of those first-class tickets, see?
that's
He says see all the time in what's it, Save the Tiger?
Wow, you're really...
Yeah, I know my film.
You know your Jack Lemmon movies.
Yeah, I know film.
You know film.
Student of film.
You're a student of film.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, what's the last great movie you saw?
I watched it the other night.
What's that?
That's a great movie. It's got the greatest film line of all time in it.
What's that?
What's the line or the film?
What's the line? We'll see if we can guess the film based on the line.
We'll like to send out a mailer.
Yeah, that's National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Brian Doyle Murray's, like, one of his two lines in National Lampoon's Vacation.
What's he eating when he says that line?
Is he eating, like, watermelon?
Yeah.
He's eating watermelon, and he says, that might be my favorite scene in movies. Just the idea.
Has everything.
The watermelon. Because he goes into the, because Chevy Chase goes into the place, and he's like.
It's a campground.
And then he's like, yeah, we need you just fill out your name and address on this thing. And then Chevy Chase is like, why do I have to put down my address?
And in mid-bite, Brian Doyle Murray says, we like to send out a mailer.
Oh, God. Movies? Anybody, have you seen any movies lately? Carl, you saw National Lampoon's Vacation recently.
Yep.
I'm going to put another one of these questions out. What's the dumbest purchase you've ever made, Joe Mandy?
I used to have a problem of, late at night buying things on eBay that I forgot later that I purchased. And one was authentic Boston Celtics tearaway pants. I don't know if they were game worn.
Yeah.
Very expensive. They didn't have pockets, and they did not fit. So I couldn't wear them, and they didn't. And when I did, they didn't.
And you are not a Boston Celtics fan.
No,
you're a Timberwolves fan.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Gabe?
In junior high, I went on a class trip to New York, and it was like the height of Hard Rock Cafe, and I bought like a $100 Hard Rock Cafe jean jacket. And then like was sweating during dinner because it was probably like the biggest purchase I'd ever made, and returned it. But, like, the idea of, like, a 14-year-old being like, I have to return.
Oh.
I have to return my jean jacket.
Uh-huh.
Dripping wet.
Yeah, soaking wet.
Lisa Jane Persky.
Moravian Festival cookies.
You bought them. Okay. That was the... Okay.
They're good, though. You didn't...
So Carl's saying those are not the worst purchase. He disagrees. Yeah. That's not the dumbest purchase. Yeah. Carl, dumbest purchase? Wait, what's that?
George Washington.
I can't hear you.
George Washington's head.
What do you mean, George Washington's? How did, when you say George Washington?
We don't need to get into this, please.
Wait, it was, when you say head, like his skull?
Actual head, no, well, head with flesh on it still. See, that should have been the red flag that it wasn't real.
It was all authentic.
Yeah.
It'd be not, because he died 300 years ago.
Yeah.
And it would still have flesh on it.
I just thought because he was a president that maybe he had some sort of holy powers
that
kept his skin taut.
Mm-hmm.
And his wig powdered.
Where did you buy this? What's that?
My nephew.
Your nephew.
Sold it to me.
One of the ones you pitch pennies against. Wow. So you really, and how much did you pay for?
$10,000.
What's that?
$10,000.
Well, what actually was it, though?
It's paper mache.
It was a paper mache.
Yeah.
How long did you go before knowing it was not real? Stop mumbling.
Seven months.
I'm only going to ask you to say it louder.
7 months. I took it on a tour.
You took it? Uh-huh. Yeah. And you got exposed.
Yes.
Oh, that Carl, this is, you're not acquitting yourself well here with these things.
You don't judge me.
I'm not judging you.
I judge you.
You can make a case you're judging yourself with these things. Did I tell you guys about the Hollywood salad at Muscle Maker Grill? They have something called Hollywood salad. Grilled chicken breast and turkey bacon with reduced fat cheddar cheese, tomatoes, onions, and our zero carb signature sauce over a bed of romaine lettuce.
See, I thought carbs were good for bodybuilders, no?
Carbs are good before an event, right? Don't people carb up before they run, right?
Like before the Oscars and stuff.
Before the Oscars, they're eating a lot of cookies and like pastries. It's why they have that pastry table on the red carpet.
You always see it.
Where just like you see, like Jennifer Lawrence eating a strudel or something. Hey, Joe Mandy's saying we go. You're going
to
split. Thank you, Joe.
I have to. Too hungry.
No, so. Of course. The muscle maker. Thank you for coming, Joe. Really appreciate
it. Bye, guys.
Thanks, bye, Joe.
Bye.
Thank you so much. That was great. Joe Mandy's here. Yeah, we'll do another little bit, and then we'll say this is the show for tonight. Is that all right? Let's see here. Next question. If you were on the run, where would you hide? Gabe?
My dad's house.
Your dad's house?
Yeah. My dad's house. Haven't been there in a very long time. Look, it's a long story. But
okay.
Last place they'd look.
It's the last place you'd be like.
Yeah, he doesn't go there.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He's definitely not there. He doesn't go to his dad's house like that.
Sure.
So, should we even check?
I'm sorry.
Look.
Should we check his dad's house?
Nah.
Now we talk to a couple people. There's no way he's at his dad's place. Like, and if he's at his dad's place, he deserves to get away with this.
Mm-hmm.
If he went to those, he went to those lengths.
Look, it's a bummer. Yeah.
Let's let him go. Lisa Jane Persky, where would you hide?
Well, I'm very secretive person, and I'm not, why would I tell you?
See, but that's exactly, you were the first person to not, that's been the whole trick with that question. I've been asking it for people for a month. You're the first person to answer it correctly where, you're supposed to say, I'm not going to tell you where I'd hide.
Because then
everybody knows where you'd hide. Congratulations.
Thank you. Do I win a prize?
That's like Willy Wonka level, right?
Golden ticket?
That should get you the chocolate factory.
And then you can hide in the chocolate factory.
Well, see, now Gabe just exposed the thing. I'm sorry. I've got to take the chocolate factory from you. Carl, is there any, if you were on the run, where would you hide?
Space.
Space?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. When you say space, you mean?
The sky?
The sky. So like?
Or like the outer atmosphere?
Mm-hmm. I don't know how you'd hide there. I mean, do you have access to like crafts that would take you up?
I didn't think of that.
Yeah. You might want to.
All right. Okay. I'll change it.
Okay.
The ocean.
Like the ocean, you mean like not. I'm sure there's no way you're saying exactly what you just said before, instead of going up in space, you're thinking you'll go down into the ocean.
Yes, yeah.
So you are.
I would just be in the ocean, yeah.
Like how deep in the ocean?
What's that movie, 20 leagues?
20,000 leagues.
Yeah, well, whatever that was. Yeah,
so you would
be that deep.
So your plan is to hide 20,000 leagues beneath the sea.
Yeah.
And only because you know that as a movie title.
That's the only depth level I know.
It's 20,000 leagues.
So I just go down that far.
So you'll just get in some sort of...
Maybe that's the only depth there is.
Some sort of... Well, you could probably figure that there's one through 19,999 leagues.
Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah, they probably don't measure them in 20,000 league increments. Because then you're saying there's either 20,000 leagues or 40,000 leagues.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. How deep is a league? How far is that?
Quarter mile?
Is it a quarter anybody? Leagues?
I'm sure that's right. There's no way to look it up, but I think a quarter mile.
Quarter mile.
Right.
Let's go with that.
We'll go with that? Yeah. We'll go okay.
Where would you hide? Think you know everything?
I would just move from town to town like Bruce Banner.
Or Guy Fieri.
Or Guy Fieri. Yeah. Guy Fieri leaving the town. Boom, dun, dun, dun. That sad piano music at the end of The Hulk with Guy Fieri leaving with a satchel with donkey sauce and some...
His jeans and tatters.
His tattered... He would have his tattered jeans, some sort
with
of
flames,
like...
With flames. His flame-pocketed torn jeans.
Yes, his flame-pocketed torn jeans. He would probably have some sort of special iPod filled with just Smash Mouth songs. Because he's tight with the dude from Smash Mouth. They wrote a cookbook together.
He doesn't look like he'd be.
He looks like he is. He looks like they could be brothers. Is it SK in Smash Mouth?
Are you thinking of Pavement?
No. That would be pretty awesome, though, if the guy from Smash Mouth.
Same guy, might be.
Jammed. Well, they look a little different.
Well.
Exact
same music.
It's exact same music. Oh, Carl. What are you doing in Los Angeles anyway?
Oh, I had to get out of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What led you to coming to the other end of the country?
I just heard that there were a lot of cool soundboards out here that needed
tweaking.
Needed to be worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly any fudge in the faders out here. I guess that's just a New Jersey thing.
I don't appreciate the accusatory quality to it.
A little tinge to my...
To your voice.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you're clearly inferring that I'm the one who smeared all the fudge all over the place.
Look, if the fudge fits, smear away.
Is that a saying? That's not an actual saying.
I think it's a song, isn't it?
If the fudge fits?
It's a Sinatra song. So, almost positive.
So Sinatra had a song called If the Fudge Fits, Smear Away.
Yeah. If the fudge fits, baby, smear away.
What era? Was this like L.A. Is My Lady? Like when he's wearing...
She Shot Me Down. It's on She Shot Me Down.
Okay. Not when he's wearing the members only jacket on the cover of...
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it amazing that Frank Sinatra got to a point where he wore a members only jacket on the cover of one of his albums? It just like, that's what members of before, like, the whole members only thing came, like, what are you a member of? Like, I don't want to be a member of that club.
The shoulder hook club.
Those are the casino people you're talking about now.
The members
only. Sort of change with the times, like the people in the, you know, the shoeless people in the pajamas in the casino.
Yeah, so even Sinatra loosened up his standards and put on a members-only jacket every once in a while. I can't wear the tux all the time. I like to relax in this shiny members-only jacket.
Sammy told me about these cool jackets.
Did you ever hear the thing when they did Cannonball Run and then, like, Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin did Cannonball Run and then Sinatra was like, "Hey, why don't you guys ever invite me to be one of these Cannonball pictures?" And then, so they put him in Cannonball Run 2, but I don't think he got out of the car. I think like a car pulls up and the window goes down. Like, it's like, well, are you in the movie? Like, don't ask to be in the movie if you're only going to shoot a scene from your car.
Maybe he lost his pants that day.
I would hope that someone on the set, like either Hal Needham, the director,
right,
or, you know, Burt Reynolds or Dom DeLuise or, you know, Jamie Farr could have come up with some kind of pants for him to wear that day. That was the second Cannonball Run movie. I don't think it was as good as the first one. The first one.
Sequels are always as good.
See, they are always. And you're saying this as a film.
Oh, yeah.
You're a film buff.
Yeah, Rocky II, The Return of the Girl Who Took Off Her Glasses and Let Her Hair Down and Was Instantly Hot.
That's not. Well, the Rocky movie, it's called Rocky.
Right. Colon.
No,
pretty sure.
There was no colon after the. So you think it was the first Rocky movie was called Rocky, colon.
The Girl Who Took Off Her Glasses and Let Her Hair Down and Was Instantly Hot.
That's not the title of the first
Rocky. The second
Rocky.
One was The Return of the Girl.
Oh, so these Rocky movies seem to be focusing more on Adrian than Rocky.
No.
Are you sure you.
I'm taking you to film school.
This is. I might question this.
All right,
this.
Well, it's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm. I might. I'm gonna have to call.
Carl yeah. Weathers.
No, I would call. I would love to.
Burt Young.
Burt Young. That'd be great if. You think he'd weigh in on?
He might.
On which one would be which?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Don't you have a show, Jason, to plug? Oh, how about that? Ready to go. No, Mike, somebody's got to, wrath has to go somewhere. Fighting hard to not drop it on you, Jason. It's hard without AP Mike. There's a certain thing in me. I gotta blast it at somebody. People of Los Angeles, in all seriousness, Jason Gore, who is the guy who built the studio for the Best Show, and he appointed himself Dudio was his name because he's the dude who built the studio. It's a nickname he came up with. It is not sticking. No, it's charmless at best when it comes to nicknames. And you're also not supposed to give yourself nicknames. Jason is one half of a show that he does with his wife, Kristen Bartlett. And they are performing in Los Angeles this Thursday at the UCB Theater on Franklin. Their show called Dead Dad's Club. I've seen it. It's a great show. It's Thursday. What is it, Thursday the 26th. The 26th at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles. Dead Dad's Club this Thursday, 9:30 p.m. You should go check it out. I've seen it in New York. They've brought it west, and it's worth seeing. So check it out. Is that good? Good?
Yeah, thank you.
You'll keep running the thing over there?
This.
You got your pound of flesh?
Oh, wait.
Doot, 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 doot. It's Mattel.
Who's this?
It's me, Gary the Squirrel. Woo, woo, Lipstick City. I'm back.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, what's up, Carl?
What's been going on?
I was here, and then I split, because I auditioned and I bombed. Fast and the Furriest.
How'd you bomb? What happened?
I thought I was going to get a good part in it. I thought I was going to get the Vin Diesel part in this squirrel-based rebooting of the Fast and the Furious franchise. But it didn't stick. You know who they gave the part to?
Mm-mm.
Josh Gad! Guy from Frozen! There's a voice of Snowman! He got the part! That guy have enough! He's on the new show with Billy Crystal! The Comedians! Which, I want to get in on that class action suit!
What's that about?
For misrepresentation! It's
called The Comedians. What's Billy Crystal doing on that thing? You know what that guy looks like now?
Mm-mm.
You ever see those shrunken apples?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he looks like one of those. They got left in with something. Yeah, you cooked that one way too long. It looks like a shrunken apple. With my tail on his head.
So what are you going to do out here now?
I'm auditioning for some new stuff. A squirrel-based sketch show. Squirrel-dill-day-night-live.
That rolls off the tongue. Say it again.
Squirrel-dill-day-night-live.
Squirrel-day-night-live.
Squirrel-dill-day-night-live. Gary Delahay in the house!
Hey, Gary.
Video gone!
Not anymore. It's gone.
What happened?
It's gone.
They canned you?
They canned me. They shut it down. They wiped it off the internet.
They canned you, then they shut it down?
Mm-hmm.
Or you shut it down vindictively after they canned you?
I'd left on my own accord, but they did. It's gone now. I think you can find it on Stereo Gum, old posts. I don't know why you would, but I think, look.
What? Oh. I got caught up in that video gum story you're telling. Man, what are you up to now?
I'm working on a TV pilot with my friend Max.
Max Silvestri!
Max Silvestri.
The king of comedy!
The king of New York.
I thought Abel Ferrara was the king of New York.
Not anymore.
Look out, Abel Ferrara! Max Silvestri's moving into the Hotel Chelsea! And he's coming for you!
So I'm doing that.
A pilot.
Working on it.
What's it about?
It's about a couple of idiots.
Okay.
That's it. We'll see how it goes. I'm sure they're going to pick it up for a lot of seasons. Just right off the bat, like the Charlie Sheen show.
Who are you doing this? So you're doing a 1090 deal.
We're doing a 1090 deal.
A 1090.
You know your lingo, Gary.
Yeah. Last 1090 deal was that Kelsey Grammer show.
That's a big show. Everyone loves that show. Everyone's talking about that show.
The one with him and Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
The pairing that no one asked for.
Did that show happen? Did they even put it on?
Oh, it was on. You know where you thought you'd see that pairing? Court!
Yeah.
Or on the side of the highway, picking up trash! Kelsey Grammer and Martin Lawrence. The weirdos! Hollywood weirdos!
I'm surprised it didn't work out. I thought that was...
Lisa J. Bursky, what's up?
Gary.
What's up? That's coming back.
You're so much better looking than I thought you would be.
Two squirrels.
In person.
What's up? For Bud Light. Crack open a cool Bud Light. Mellow out. Right? How about you, Carl? What do you drink?
I like Milwaukee's best light ice.
Okay. The cheap stuff.
It's, you know, takes me there.
Yeah.
Takes me there and back.
A little tight, huh? Short arms, deep pockets.
Yeah.
They're only springing for the good stuff.
I'm not rich like you. I heard about your thing with Kiss. You got the
Squiss
thing happening.
It's already not happening.
Oh, it's not happening?
No.
What happened to the song you were writing? Let me put my nuts in your mouth.
I got replaced.
You did?
Yeah.
What happened? By who?
By a squirrel named Tommy.
Oof.
Tommy Squirrel Thayer. The squirrel equivalent of Tommy Thayer replaced me.
Ugh.
And I had the Gene voice down too. God of Thunder.
It's pretty good.
Thanks, man.
It's pretty good. So what are you going to do now? Are you going on other auditions?
Yeah. I'm going to audition for the comedians.
You should do voice work.
I should.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Health insurance. Make sure you got it. How was that?
Do one for that weightlifting restaurant.
Muscle Maker Grill?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Let's go. About tell you about the core values. At Muscle Maker Grill, we base our everyday business operations on simple, fundamental principles. Our core values! Our core values may enable us to maintain our commitment to serve our customers fresh, great-tasting food with their health in mind. The core values are respect and honor. We respect and honor our customers, our employees, our community, and ourselves, through principles of truth, integrity, and ethics. This place sounds like you might go there to get an order of salad. You end up hooked to an e-meter.
You have a smoother voice than Peter Thomas, the voice guy. Very
an e-meter. Get it?
Scientology.
Yeah. Truth, integrity, ethics. Sounds like you're going to back. You're going to get a shake. Next thing you know, you're getting told about spaceships landing in the volcanoes. I came out here to protest that movie.
Why?
Because I thought it'd be good for my career. I thought I'd go pick an HBO, be on the line, maybe get script to Giovanni Ribisi or something, get my spec. I wrote a pretty good spec.
What's it about?
The Goldbergs! It's a Goldberg spec! You never guess what happens in it.
What happens in it?
They argue. I'm going to work on another spec.
What is it?
It's a right sample about two idiots.
What's it called?
Gabe and Max.
All right, well, it's hurtful.
Where are you doing the show? Hey, I'm just taking your thing. Where do you have it set up?
I don't
HGTV!
I don't know if I don't.
It's a web series for HGTV!
It's, yeah. It's, I don't know. I don't. It's set up somewhere. It is set up somewhere.
Which it is?
Yeah.
A little cagey.
Look, it hasn't been on Deadline yet. I haven't gotten Jake Fogelnest to email Nikki Fink to get it on Deadline yet, so I gotta play it close to
Come on, Nikki Fink don't work for Deadline anymore.
Oh, right.
You'd have to contact Nellie Andreeva!
What else have you been doing in L.A., Gary?
I was at Paquito Moss today. Loading up ahi tuna burrito. They had to carry me out. Dump me in my rental car.
What kind of rental car are you driving?
Dodge Dart. Little one.
Little one?
Yeah.
Because you're little?
Yeah.
Or because you're cheap?
Because I'm little. What do you want me to... How am I supposed to drive the thing?
Right. I just was making sure.
Yeah, you make
sure. Do they make everything little? All the cars are little? Like, you could have gotten a nicer little car.
Yeah, well, look, money's tight. I don't have all that video gum money. What are you up to, Lisa Jane Persky? You're working on a book.
Always working on a book.
Tell us about the book.
I'm working on a book about growing up in Greenwich Village in the 60s and 70s.
Van Ronk!
Exactly. I just...
Is Van Ronk in it?
Is he good?
Is he in it?
Oh, yeah, he's in it. He combs his hair.
Oh, boy, this runs a real page-turner.
What about you?
Dave Van Ronk combs his hair in the book.
He combs his hair in the book.
Don't give it all away now! You want people to buy the thing!
Okay.
So it's about
growing up in
the village.
You're right.
Like, and what else in the village?
I'm giving a talk at the EMP, Experience Music Project, which I'm going to actually perform at. And it's about, again, about the village, but it's about the year 1976, and I'm cramming it all into 18 minutes. All my
punk
friends and, yep, all punk all the time.
Who are you going to talk about?
Well, I think I better not give that away either.
The Ramones!
But certainly Gary Valentine will be Ex of Blondie will be part of that. The Blondies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Blondie!
Is that a man purse or a nut you're holding?
It's an acorn!
Oh, I'm sorry.
Look!
I'm really sorry.
And I hit it when I want to get in shape. This is the strongest arm in show business.
I believe it.
So, see that. When's the book come out?
That's a good question. I have to finish it first.
Yeah, that's how everything works. Before it comes out, you have to finish it. Right?
Right.
Except for what?
Are you in publishing?
Except for food. The food comes out. Then you finish it. It's a riddle. Get you over the bridge. The troll asks you that one. They get you over the bridge. So when's it going to come? 2017?
Are you going to move out here?
If I get this part, I will.
Well, I'd cast you.
Which part's Squirrel Day Night Live?
Either that. I'm working on a thing. Attention, teachers and students! Attention, teachers and students!
I know what that is. That's on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I licensed it from Jay Farrow.
Mm.
You can do that, you know. Just rent it.
You can rent lines.
Yeah. Attention, teachers and students! And then I'm hoping to get a part on The Comedians. As Billy Crystal's hair!
Season 2.
I just lay there. As he's walking around. I'm old. And I'll just be sitting on his head. Well, I mean, I don't want that part now. Get in that guy's head. Still fooling him. Still fooling him. And then Rob Reiner said to me, blah, 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 blah. Then Mickey Mantle said, blah, 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 blah. No, nothing. What's the best movie you were ever in?
You mean my favorite, or do you mean, how do you mean that? I don't know.
You can answer it how you want.
Okay, I like The Big Easy. I like that movie.
Quaid!
Yeah.
Barkin! The Big Easy! That's New Orleans. Norlins.
That's pretty right? Good. Yeah, that is.
I'll see.
I don't know. You're going to have to work a little harder on that one.
Oh, boy. Rough crowd. So we look for your book.
I hope
soon.
You will. I hope you will.
You got a show. Soon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Carl?
I got to fix this board. I got to get back under there.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go under there, too.
Do you have any WD-40?
Hey, I got it in my dart. I'll run out and get it.
Give me the keys.
No,
give me the keys. Come on, I'll go out and get it.
We'll go out together.
Okay, all right.
Wow, they're actually leaving together.
All
right, let's go. They actually just left together. That is a weird pairing. You know what I'm going to do? We did a fun half best show. But you know what? What is the best show, really? Right? Isn't it going to be 3 hours?
It is what we make it, man.
It's just like...
Very L.A. of you.
It's just like that song from Rocky Horror, right?
Sing that.
I thought Jake Fogelness would appear. I said that. That's actually... I said Rocky Horror. And I thought, you know that song was like... Just... No, it's like, don't see it. Is that like, be it.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Right, isn't that the final song?
That's the one.
How many times did you see Rocky Horror in a theater, either of you?
Once.
Once, maybe.
Once, maybe.
Maybe zero.
Jason, have you seen Rocky Horror?
I've seen it way too many times.
How many times is way too many?
I think about 8.
In the theater?
In the theater. But those special occasions where you go and...
Your birthday?
Yeah. Every birthday from 8 to 16, I went. So
yeah, Easter. What special occasions are you going? Well, I don't know any special occasion where the answer is to Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You know, they make it like an event.
Who's they? Why are you listening to whoever they is that would make Rocky Horror Show into an event?
These old theaters, you know?
Oh, I get it.
I so also feel like you can get away with saying it's a special occasion for one viewing of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah. But
not
when you,
eight.
Yeah,
not eight.
When you got to that six, kinda, you should have been like, this is pretty thin soup here, and it is not tracking anymore.
Yeah.
People are looking at me when I'm just like, it's a special occasion! 6 weeks in a row. Rocky Horror Picture Show. I saw it 2 times in the theater when I was in high school. And I remember there was a kid. I was a freshman at that point. And that we would get picked on all the time. Our class got picked on so much by the seniors. And I remember looking and seeing that like a senior was in the crowd. And I'd seen it once already, so I knew there was a spot to, like, yell an insult. That's where, like, the character would, like, answer my like, I would throw out the funny, I would throw his name into a thing, and then the character would, like, say, like, yeah, he's stupid, or something like, what do you think of blah, blah, blah? And the character's just like, he's an idiot, or whatever line it was, and I did it. And then, like, a few people laughed. But he didn't know who did it. So that's...
So you won. You got away
clean. I did win. Yeah. I'm realizing I have what it would take to be a terrorist. Like, I'm starting to realize I have a certain approach to things that's how they tend to handle things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not nuts about that. That does not make me happy, but...
A lot of terrorists goofing around at Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That would. I think if terrorists saw that, they'd be like, we must redouble our efforts. If this is what this country stands for, a guy dressed as they come here, it's 1:30 in the morning, they're dressed like monsters and dancing in front of the theater to... And even the terrorists would be just like, this is like watered down glam rock here. Like, we've heard better. Even like ISIS would be like, yeah, you should just probably listen to like The Sweet or T-Rex or David Bowie instead of this stuff.
But the fishnets.
Yeah. They'd see the fishnets and they'd be like, we were right the whole time. We need more power, and then they would contact their U.S. Their U.S. branch mm-hmm. of ISIS, which you know is improv everywhere. It's the U.S. arm of ISIS. Would that surprise anybody? I don't think it would not surprise me if they revealed, hey, turns out that was ISIS the whole time. That's where ISIS started. You trace it all the way back. It started people being on the subway not wearing pants once a year. I'm here in L.A. You can't get me, improv everywhere. Wait, I'm going back in 2 days. You can get me. Sorry, improv everywhere. Walking it back like a total coward. No, I stand firm in my convictions. Why am I saying any? I don't know why I'm saying any of this right now. Think about it, Tom. Upside versus downside. Ask yourself, what's the upside? What's the downside? I've got to ask myself that more, because sometimes I'll just say things and it's like, oh, the upside will be that maybe people might laugh. Maybe. Downside, oh, yeah, there's somebody who hates me forever now and is out to get me. And I'm not saying that improv everywhere is out to get me, but I'll stand by everything I say. I stand by it. I'm not going to blame it on a character, you know, coming here up on stage, all in the videos. I'm quoting Suge Knight now when he's like, if you want a label, remember that when at the Source Awards, when I forget who won, and then Suge Knight came up on stage, and then Suge Knight's like trying to get everybody to come to death row. He's like, I think Tupac won an award, and then Suge Knight came up also, and he just said, like, if you want to go to a label where the producers aren't all up in the videos, putting their face in everything, like just clearly referring to Puff Daddy at that point, then you come to death row. And now Suge Knight is like fainting in court. So it's like,
I think he seems cool. Suge Knight seems real cool.
So is that the line we have to walk out here? Did I say the wrong thing?
This is L.A. Cool. Like, you got to be – Suge Knight's cool. Improv Everywhere is cool. Oh. Rocky Horror Picture Show is cool.
What if you were on L.A. Mass Transit?
All right.
And you saw Suge Knight participating in No Pants, that No Pants Day. Suge Knight just walks on. Giant cigar.
I would be like, great to meet you. I hope that we can find something to work on together at some point.
Who'd win in a fight? Suge Knight versus, let's think, Suge Knight versus Rick Ross. Let's just start right there, because they almost look like two different generations of the same guy, right? They're like huge. Like,
they're
those are probably
gigantic. Yeah.
Who'd win in that fight?
I mean, Suge Knight seems unwell.
So then, like, Rick Ross,
like,
the winner.
I mean, do you want to Rocky style it? Do you want
to? Just like, a lot of people are talking about that. Like, they're running it through an algorithm to see who would, of what era.
If they're both at their peak.
Yeah, I'd say Suge Knight then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Rick Ross was actually a prison guard.
He was?
Yeah.
Then maybe Rick Ross.
But that was like the giant secret with him, where all of a sudden it came out. It's like, hey, this guy's saying he's like a criminal and everything. It's like, yeah, like 6 years ago, he was a prison guard. It's like, really, he was the opposite secret. He was the opposite of a criminal. Was the guy who kept criminals in their cells in jail.
Is that like a more explosive hip hop secret than going to private school?
I think a prison guard, that's like, because you're an adult. Like,
it's pretty bad.
If you're a kid going to private school, you don't have a whole lot of say in that. You fill out an application to be a prison guard.
Yeah.
All right, so we assume Rick Ross wins that round.
I think he's got the training, right? I mean, he's been trained to subdue people.
But if it's all, yes, so assuming he did like a wrestling move and pulled out a billy club or a taser or whatever.
Yeah.
So he wins, and then he goes on to fight all three members of Green Day at the same time.
Wins.
He wins. He fights all three members of Green Day.
Goes for some chicken at Muscle Builders Cafe.
Then he goes and fights all of the Arcade Fire.
Wins.
At once.
Who beats Rick Ross is the question.
Well, that's what we're trying to figure now. Who
beats Rick Ross? You went from Suge Knight to Green Day to Arcade Fire.
Okay, well, here we go then. Rick Ross has to fight a tag team of Glenn Danzig and that muscular sax player from the Tina Turner videos in the 80s. That shirtless, like that Fabio-looking guy who played sax. And right. Fabio. Those three. Rick Ross. Not at the same time, though. Oh. Just like, so it's the, so it, like, but he could be fatigued then. Rick Ross could be like sucking wind.
Right.
Cause he did beat up Glenn Danzig, but he's a little winded now. And then the sax player is giving him a good fight. And the sax player has his sax with him as a weapon.
Okay. Okay.
Or as either like to distract him with the sound or to hit him over the head with.
And then Fabio?
And then Fabio, who I think is the weakest of the three, because he does not seem like a fighter. He's a lover, not a fighter.
Fabio seems too pretty. He'd be too scared to mix it up.
Yeah. Any opinion of any of this?
Maybe they'd have a little love stop, a pit stop or something, and just kind of hug it out.
That Fabio would get him to, like, unless Fabio got him to just, like, off his game, and then all of a sudden the sax player slid in and just
see.
Just
I'm
like,
saying you put Fabio
boom.
First.
Okay,
put Fabio first to tire him out a little bit.
Yeah, and
but he's gonna win
and to distract, mess with his head a little bit. Just like yeah, I beat that guy, but he seemed like a good guy. And then
right,
then
he's mercilessly beating everyone up, and then when it gets to Fabio, he's like, that was a hard one for me.
Yeah, that guy seemed okay. And then
Fabio, then sax player,
then the sax player. Then you're saying Danzig finishes him off.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you're saying that now we go that Glenn Danzig
right.
is alone, or does that trio move forward in the round of?
No, Fabio's out.
Fabio's out. The sax player's out. The
sax player's
out.
So
now Glenn Danzig has to go on and fight. Glenn Danzig has to fight Flea and Chad Smith.
Wins.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. Those guys seem like they seem like the kind of person that gets in a fight and starts acting crazy because they think that will make people leave them alone. Uh-huh.
But then they're not crazy. Yeah. No, I see what you mean. So what you're saying is Glenn Danzig
is the ultimate champion.
Is the ultimate champion. I can't think of any better way to wrap the show up than with that. I want to thank Jason Gore for helping out so much with all this. Thank you, buddy. And everybody go see Dead Dad's Club this Thursday, March 26th, over at the UCB Theater on Franklin in Los Angeles, 9:30. It's a really great show. It's Jason and Kristen Bartlett. They do it in New York regularly. They have taken it to the West Coast, so check it out. I want to thank Lisa Jane Persky for coming. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom. So great to see you out here.
So great. I want to thank Gabe Delahaye for coming by. It's so great to be. We've never done this face to face, right? Were you on the phone?
No, I was there for your Christmas.
Yes,
for your Christmas.
That
special.
Was such an over.
But this is better.
Thing.
This is better.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure this is what I wanted to do with you
thank
at some
you
point.
Thank you for having me.
And we did it, and then. Thank Joe Mandy, and that was also the first time Joe was ever on the show. Joe was never, ever on the show.
He's the best.
He really is the best. And I want to thank Earwolf for being so generous with their facilities, helping us out. And Best Show will be back next week. Download this episode, but you already did download it if you're hearing it. So, download all the episodes. Give us a nice review on iTunes. The box set is out. Numero Group, you can check that out. Pick it up. It's starting to ship for people now. 16 CD box set of Sharpling and Worcester. And we will see you next week. Thanks, everybody. And you should know that the Best Show is supported by Wealthfront, the automated investment service that makes it easy to invest your money the right way. It automatically rebalances your portfolio and reinvests your dividends, all commission-free. Wealthfront manages over $2 billion and has saved millions on taxes for its clients. Visit wealthfront.com/bestshow to get your first $10,000 managed for free. That's wealthfront.com/bestshow to get your first $10,000 managed for free. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.